adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction specialist. And tonight, no guest.
Just the love between us.
That's right. Thank Christ.
What are you looking at?
Look at the shirt, buddy. You know what that is? That's a monogram.
Your monogram.
On my sleeve.
Ace Carolla.
That's right. Custom tailored shirt. Not bad,
huh? Did I give that to you?
Hell no. I sewed it of course. Yeah.
I did. I've never seen you wear a shirt with a collar to this studio.
I know. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what happened. If you do Jim Rome, if you do his TV show, most TV shows, they give you a windbreaker with the name of the show on it, so you look like an asshole, and just a walking donkey with a sign on it now that advertises their show. It's like, hey, who's this for?
Yeah.
You got a C-list celebrity wearing your crappy show on the back of my windbreaker.
I was at Kilbourne last night, and they gave me a weekend vacation in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you. With a limo and everything. It's awesome.
Yeah, but it wasn't monogrammed.
No, it was not monogrammed. Not
okay.
Taylor, not
all right, so
me. I'm sure everyone else got the same thing.
Here's what happened at Jim Rome, which is I did the show twice, and they didn't do it the second time. But the first time, you go in there, and they fit you for a custom shirt.
That's nice.
And it's a tailored shirt guy. You know, he's pulling measurements. And by the way, I don't want to sound gay, but it is nice to be handled once in a while as
you're
a man.
You're gay.
By a man?
Anything. Even almost better almost better from a man, because then it's sort of minus any of the tension
sexual
or energy
or
whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It's nice. I like getting a haircut.
Guy named Paulie giving you a massage.
I love it. I love it. I love when the barber, I love when he gets the straight edge out and the hot foam machine and starts lathering up the back of the neck.
We're going with this.
Okay, here's my point. if you just would put your hand on my knee while we're doing the show, once in a while, just so I know you're there.
Yeah.
Instead of some disembodied voice.
Right.
Okay, the point is measured up, that you pick a color swatch, and a month later your shirt shows
That's
up
nice
with
day.
your monochromatic.
Kim ought to pick that up, right?
Yeah, it's nice. And you know, if you're a guy like me whose right arm is 3/4 inch longer than his left arm, because stuff hangs on me all weird. So.
Well, why'd you wear it to the radio studio? I've never seen you in a shirt with a collar, unless you just did TV.
Well, here's what happened. The shirt was out because I was wearing it. Why the hell was the shirt out? Shirt was out because I did something for MTV today, which is one of those list shows, you know, where you sit there and some guy goes, what'd you think about J-Lo? This was MTV. And so I just wore a decent shirt for that. And then, as you know, I have momentum with apparel. Once something's out, it's used.
3 months,
Yeah.
We'll see this shirt again.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay.
And then what is the hamper?
Where are we?
You're not going to put this shirt in the hamper, are you?
No.
Yeah.
No,
that would be sinful.
This is not going to be used. By the way, my wife's become a detective. She's like, she says, "Have you been beating off?" No, no,
that,
not
how
been
does
beating
that conversation
off.
Start?
She's brought, she
so
brought it.
She's
up.
Cooking the pasta, and I'm even jacking off.
I said, no. Why? Why? What'd you find? You know? And she's like, I saw your pants on the living room floor when I came down this morning. And why were your pants? Why are your pants off? I said,
"Oh my God!
I always take my pants off." You do? Now you know it's great. It's great about being a guy. You're so much smarter than women. While she was talking to me, I was skipping rope, and I was wearing a pair of shorts. Yeah. And she goes, "What do you mean? Why are you taking your pants off? What do you mean you always take your pants off?" I'm not wearing my pants now, am I? She said, "Well, I guess not." All right then. As long as you're not wearing pants.
Just out muscled her.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
She didn't check the VCR or anything, though, right?
No. She keeps an eye open.
She really doesn't want to know.
She doesn't want to know. No. No. No, I mean, it has been. It's been a while.
For what? That you've touched
her? Yeah. No, me. It's been a while since I've had it myself.
Me time.
Yeah.
24 hours?
I said a while, not a lifetime.
Okay, all right, good.
Armando?
Yeah?
You're 16.
Yes, sir. How are
What's
you guys
up?
Doing tonight?
Good.
All right. My question is, I'm in a long-distance relationship right now, right? We were together for a year. I moved a year in, right? a year after that I moved. It's been probably 11-10 months already, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of head games and stuff with this girl. And I was wondering,
Wait. You're not even following this, are you? Because you would have stopped him already.
Who, me? No, yes. I was focusing on why I don't have any goddamn coffee.
All right.
And why this is an issue three times.
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Lauren Coffee. Listen, Armando, you've been away from this girl for 11 months.
Uh-huh.
How far away are you?
About 200 miles.
And do you ever see each other?
Yeah.
How often?
Probably once a month.
No. It's 16. That's once a year. It's 16.
Yeah, it's once a year, and it's 10,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Don't do that to yourself.
It's over.
The head games are all about trying to cling to a relationship that's not working. It's normal. It's supposed to happen. Relationships of their age is not supposed to go forever. And one of the reasons they end is proximity.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's fine. You'll be fine. I guarantee it.
All right.
You won't obsess and linger for a couple years the way Adam did. And, you know.
Mm. No, it ain't over.
No. Oh, you're still having trouble? No,
it's like Vietnam for a lot of people.
I've been telling you, Dr. Therapist, about that as well, that masturbation.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Armando?
Yeah.
Are the guys once in a while you run into some old guy named Army?
Huh?
Is that Armando?
What happened?
Short for Armando?
Yeah, I don't think it's short for Armando.
Armando, it's
Do you get Army?
Nuh-uh.
Have you ever heard of that?
Nuh-uh. I heard of Armand, the French way.
But I don't know. Army.
Nuh-uh.
Okay.
No satisfaction, Adam. Come on.
Never any. But like Army Archer. What's his name is an Army.
It's probably some, you know, Archimedes or something. You know, something probably really long.
There's a couple of armies out there, though, and I think it's probably, if not Armando, what?
Somebody call and tell us. Right.
It's never going to happen.
Of course.
Joel?
Hey.
Hey. What's Army short for, the name Army?
Well, gosh, I know about Dick Army. That's a terrible...
Yeah, that's a last name.
Terrible comeback, yeah.
No, it's not, because that's where my head went, too, but it's the last name.
I don't know. You make people tweet it out of Archibald or something.
Yeah, see?
No.
It'd be Archie.
Kind of give it that biblical twist, you know?
Yeah, I knew. I thought of it the other day, and I don't think it's Armando, but we'll get...
Maybe Armageddon. It's like a goth name.
Joel, your head works exactly like mine.
Those are the
thoughts that scrolled through my head.
You should put a bullet in it quickly.
What's going on?
Well, you've got me really interested in reading your book, but I'm blind, and I want to see if I can talk you into, like, maybe sending me a digital copy of it, or if it's going to be on audio tape or something.
You mean a digital copy, meaning me reading it?
Yeah, I put it in my computer, and my computer reads to me.
You know, I would absolutely love to do that.
Wait a minute. That's different than what he's talking about.
What?
He said digital copy, and you said, you mean me reading it? And he said, yeah, I put it in my computer, and my computer reads it.
Oh.
Yeah, talk to me.
A digital copy of it means your computer would decipher it.
How do you? Is that?
Well, yeah, that's how it works. It's like you plug it into like Microsoft Word or something, and you hit a button and it reads the whole document to me.
Wow, that's
awesome. And your computer is probably much more animated than Dr. Drew would be if he was reading.
Of course,
much finer actor.
Well, you know, the first question everybody asked me is,
I banged my first nurse in 1971.
What's that, Joel?
It was good.
It actually does it sounds almost as nasal as Adam, actually.
Your voice?
No, your computer. Drew, you're talking about the computer.
All right.
It has the monotone of Drew and the nasalness of Adam. It's like I'm at home when I'm listening to you guys.
Really? Can you fire it up? Where is it?
I have it upstairs. I could go do it.
Is it going to take you like an hour and 45 minutes to get upstairs?
No, it'll take me a minute or two.
That's what I'm saying. How do you get upstairs? You crawl? No? Can you move around okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I got a lot of crap in the way, but, you know.
Two stories just sounds like trouble when you're blind. Like, I see fine in two stories as trouble. When you drink a lot.
Thus the pants on the floor of the living room.
Right. I don't need that. I don't need being encumbered.
Well, you know, I remember a couple months ago you were talking about, was it Molly Ringwald's dad and taking the bus and stuff? And I was thinking that, you know, gosh, this is a guy complaining about not being able to take the bus and he can beat off, drink coffee, and drive at the same time.
Yeah, and have. And
it
have.
Seems like a great iniquity to me.
Well, hold on a second. Go upstairs, find the computer. Molly Ringwald's dad is blind.
Oh, that's right. I remember this, yes.
And, I mean, he ain't faking, because I've thrown fake punches at him.
Yeah.
And he don't move. Either he's got nerves of steel or he's blind. Because, I mean, I've done serious combos on him and nothing. And even, you know, and then downstairs, nothing. And
I'm sure Beth appreciate that.
Yeah. And so this guy, he's always been blind. All right? He's been blind since he was a kid. And I used to see him when I was a kid because they grew up down the street, and he'd be trekking off to work, and he'd head out of the house, walk right onto Laurel Canyon, one of the busiest streets in the valley, and not one of the nicest ones either. Truck right down Laurel Canyon, head over to Chandler, and sit down and wait for the bus.
Wow.
And that was a couple of city blocks. Grab the bus, take the bus up to the Van Nuys courthouse, let him ride off. Jump off somewhere, Chandler and Van Nuys Boulevard, and truck another five blocks. They walked in the courthouse. Meanwhile, like you walking with a bucket over your head.
Yeah.
Believe that?
Meanwhile, you can't get across the street to the high school.
Well, I could. Learning going on there. I don't want to be there. But, it is amazing what you can do. Joel?
Yeah, here we are.
Are you at the computer?
Yeah, here it is. I'm in Microsoft Outlook. I'm going to go down through a couple of the emails I have.
How do you know where you are? I mean, maybe you're standing in front of a cigarette machine or something. Uh-oh.
Can you hear that?
Sound like Drew. It was a little choppy. Can you
yeah,
play
well, it is real kind of rapid, and I have it sped up a little bit. I could slow it down if you want.
Slow it down just a hair.
All right.
Speed. Auditory reading.
How's that?
Oh, that's great. It's just like Grandpa reading to you when you're
sounds
in bed.
Like,
any idea what it's saying?
Underwater, bubbling.
This conversation can serve no purpose.
All right, Joel, here's the deal. Yeah, I unfortunately don't own the rights to these kinds of things. Contact Reagan Books through HarperCollins. I guarantee you they'll have something like this for you.
There are loopholes in the law about, giving people who can't read print books, access to those kind of things.
I'm sure they will have
it. I've had a lot of success with authors before.
I'd be delighted if I had anything like this, but
listen, if they're building like handicap ramps so guys can get lap dances at strip joints and stuff, believe me, you can get one of these books. Yeah. So listen, do you work?
I'm a student right now. I worked for about 6 or 7 years. Yeah.
Have you been blind your whole life?
Since I was 7, so about 20 some years.
What happened?
I was born with retinoblastoma, and I had radiation therapy and stuff, and my eyes never really worked well, and it just kind of gave out,
Bilateral.
Yeah. See, you always
bilateral.
I always wanted to be some sort of, something in the lab exploded. You know what I mean? But it's always the same it's sort of boring.
Head injuries and things.
I'm getting to an age where I could tell people it was Desert Storm, and I get a little mileage out of that sometimes.
Smart. Yeah, that works. Phosphorus bomb went off in your bunker. You got the worst of it because you dove on three of your guys trying to protect them.
They
came off unhurt. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And how are chicks? Are they okay?
Surprisingly good, actually. Yeah, I was really surprised. Sometimes it helps a little,
Ooh,
you
it's an
have that wounded animal thing,
Well, I mean, if you look at it this way.
You can't be looking at other girls.
Is a 24-year-old... Is a 24-year-old...
Yeah, I have the advantage of not being able to look at all the porn on the internet, I guess.
Adam would kill himself.
So, for me, it's suffering, but, all the other women think it's great,
As a 24-year-old guy who's going to school, you have a little bit of an in.
Hmm?
Now, you may not look at it as an in, but it's an icebreaker. It's something. It's all you need is something.
It's a little bit of the guy in jail stuff, too. It's the little guy sort of contained.
Yeah, you don't have to. No date rape going to go on the first night. You just, what's he going to do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that.
Not that he wouldn't try.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And it's not that handy capable doesn't also include rape.
Right.
I believe it does. Whatever they can do, everything we can do. You got to lump rape onto that, right? But. So, Joel, not saying that you couldn't rape with the best of them, or rape as good as the guy who had 20/20 vision.
Or if you needed rape-accessible ramps and equipment and things. Yeah.
And it's not, and by the way, rape is not a sexual crime. It's an act of violence. But you come at the end. but it's violent. It's like a violent, it's no different than if I stabbed you with a knife and then came on you. Or held up a liquor store, or shot you, and then came. But it's the same. You know what I'm saying? It's not a sexual thing. It'd just be like if I stole some jewels and came. So that's what I'm saying. It's the same. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
Same.
No different.
Same. Same exact thing. I get you.
No different than arson, but I come. Do you see what I'm saying? Or vehicular manslaughter, but I come in my pants when I run you over. It's the same. It's like any crime. It's just you come at the end.
It's so much the same. You don't even have to do that because it's not a sexual thing.
It's not sexual. It's a violent crime. You just jizz when you're done. And that's how you know you're done. But it's not a sexual crime. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So as long as we're clear on that. All right, Joel's good people. Drew, do you understand it'd be no different than if you left your laptop computer unattended at the airport?
I hear McGruff right now.
I made off with it, but came in my pants as I was running with your computer.
All right, McGruff the crime dog.
All right. So you see my point.
Yeah, I got it. Got you. Right.
Wow, where do you keep your wallet?
See?
Where do you hold on. What do you think? What's the answer to that, McGruff?
Where do you keep your wallet?
I keep it up your ass, you mutt. I keep it on a stick planted in my lawn. What do you mean where I keep my wallet? Get my course. Goddamn pants, you retarded dog. And by the way, is this the collective IQ of this nation that we need a dog mascot to tell us about crime?
Yes, of course.
How much crime fighting do dogs do? Not minimal,
man.
You're
the one that attacked you.
Yeah, they're out there. You're right.
Lisa.
Yeah.
20, what's going on?
How you doing? I'm calling up. I listen to your show all the time. I think you guys are both great.
Thanks, Lisa.
But, I found out in June that my mom has 6 months to live. Mm-mm. And she's dying of a disease that she has, Huntington's chorea.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
Eesh.
What?
You know, that's, well, go ahead. I mean, that's a hereditary disorder.
Yep.
She's your biological mom?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And she never really been a mother to me, but she's always like my little buddy, and I've always been really close to her, you know, like, so I'm really upset about that. And my dad was always a really bad alcoholic, and he used to, like, beat all of us. He was very violent.
Fabulous.
He used to, like, beat her really bad.
Beat
and I think
too.
That might have helped make the disease go a little bit quicker.
No.
And also... I'm sorry. I can't really...
Well, hold on 1 second. What do you mean she was like your buddy?
Well, she was never really a mother because of her disease, she's kind of nuts and like... I'm sorry, but she's like retarded in a sense.
Yeah. She's
never really been there, you know, but she was always, you know, like my little buddy. I used to kid around with her and stuff, and I watched her and stuff, you know.
She's been that way since you were born.
I don't know since I was born, but as long as I can remember, since I was like 8 maybe.
Is there Huntington's that's non... Korea?
Huntington's chorea.
Well, Huntington's disease is Huntington's chorea. Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is a hereditary thing, Drew is saying.
Autosomal dominant.
Yeah.
Have you been checked for it?
I think...
I don't know if you guys are talking to me, but...
Have you been checked for it, Lisa? Lisa?
No, it's the
phone thing
goddamn
here.
Goddamn phone cutting out, and everyone else can hear her, but...
Nobody
else can hear, but
she just got cut off, or what?
Hello?
Lisa, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Have you been checked for this disease?
I don't want to be checked, because if you get checked, or, you know, you don't have no reason to live.
Smart.
You know, because you know what's going to happen to you.
Okay.
And Adam's going to love this, but I'm raising my little brother and my little sisters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so since I'm living with my father, I've always, you know, I always wanted to, like, hurt him really a lot, because... I never really worked out those issues, but I don't have the money for therapy now.
Okay.
And I can't really talk to people anyways. I'm only talking to you because, you know, you guys are over the phone.
Okay. Right.
But I know I have, like, a really lot of issues, and actually I'm planning on going on vacation to try to figure some things out.
Okay.
But, like, my little brother's 3, and my little sister's 1.5, and my other sister's 15.
Okay. Are these all from this guy, from the abusive alcoholic guy?
Yeah.
Are you leaving them with him?
When I'm not there, like, because I work 2 jobs, when I'm not there, my 15-year-old sister usually gets stuck with the kids, so, like...
Wow, Lisa, my God.
All right, hold on a second. Let me convene with Drew for a second.
I mean, this is like
okay.
This is like a Charles Dickens. You know what I mean?
I know. I was just thinking, what century are we
Tiny
in?
Tiny Tim, yeah.
Okay, so what are the chances if I have Huntington's chorea that my kid has Huntington's chorea?
I think it's like 50%.
50%.
I think so.
So
or maybe yeah,
so that's a quarter.
It's half.
Half. Oh, so now we're just going by 100.
I think it's you okay. have to look it all up.
Okay, so there's a likelihood.
Yeah.
And there's a likelihood that one of, if not more, of these kids
yeah.
has this.
And there's different manifestations. I've cared for patients with this disorder. There's sort of different. It can be milder or more severe, this kind of thing.
Now, is there anything that you can do about it other than wait for it to show itself?
Not really, no, not that I'm aware of. And there's medication for some of the mental status problems. They get weird, you know.
If it's not showing itself,
at 20,
can you
that's
detect
a good sign.
It? That's good.
Yeah, yes, I believe there are ways to test for it, genetic testing.
All right.
But the fact that she doesn't have it by 20 is a pretty good sign.
But is there any reason to check for it other than, well, let's say you starting a family, perhaps,
right.
or something.
That's
or
why
you,
for genetic testing.
Driving a school bus or something.
Right.
But other
and,
than that,
and if you start having funny neurologic symptoms, you want to
right.
Know,
but it's not like other things where it's I don't know breast cancer or something where you're at a high risk and you're kidding yourself. You should get in there.
Take the breast.
It doesn't matter.
No.
Okay. Well, that's
not that I'm aware of. I'm certainly no expert in this area, but not that I'm aware of.
Right. Where is this, Lisa? Yeah. So, Lisa.
Yeah.
Where are you going on vacation, by the way?
I'm thinking I'm just gonna go get a motel room, get away from everybody for a little bit. And just go to national parks, you know, go hiking a little bit, try to clear
sure.
my mind.
Gettysburg.
You got some money saved up?
Not much. That's why I figure I'll get like a little motel room, you know.
You going alone?
Yeah.
You got a boyfriend?
No.
No, just single?
Yeah, well, like I said, I spend all my time with the kids and
sure, work. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right, so listen, you're much stronger than any other 20-year-old.
We've
it was your age.
Drinking, yeah.
Yeah, these our 20-year-olds are, you know, they're drinking wine coolers and they want to know the difference between an IUD and IOU.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry you've been through what you've been through. I'm sorry for what happened to your mom. I do worry about your younger brothers and sisters. I do worry about your dad being around. Is he controlled his drinking at all?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch on the last part.
Right, Lisa, one thing you can do. That's free, and that
you're
will help you.
You're bouncing out completely.
Okay. Can you hear me?
You're really low.
All right. Go to Al-Anon. That's something you can do for free. Do that. That you're looking for things you can do. That's something you can do. It's free. Get a sponsor. You can work some of these things out.
All right. Al-Anon.
Or ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get myself a coffee.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Good times.
I know. Junior producer Lawrence Mand as I brought the coffee thing up. But
why?
I don't know. Look, here's the problem. I know everyone around here thinks I'm an asshole. I don't care. I may not have brought
you
this.
You seem like you do. I know. I understand.
I may not have brought this up before, but I need a coffee.
Yeah, I know.
And I need it sometime before 10. That's it. That's all I need. I don't know. And maybe it's my fault because it hasn't been discussed. Or maybe it's been brought up several hundred times. Either way, that's it. That's what needs to happen. If that makes me a prick, then I'm a prick. All right, I'm going to go fetch that. Drew, you want to warm up, buddy?
Sure, I'll go.
Hey, you're a prick. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, and it's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's go back to the phones and speak to Tiffany, who's 20. Tiffany?
Tiffany?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 20 years old, and I've been sexually active for a few years. But the thing is like, while I'm having sex, I don't enjoy it as much as I want to. Like, I crave it so much beforehand, but, like, when I'm doing it, I don't want to do it anymore.
Does that make sense? Is this with somebody you care about, or just randomly, or what's the situation?
It's randomly.
Have you ever had a relationship?
Yeah, I've had a couple. I'm just really picky, so I always end up breaking up with someone.
You're not that picky, because you're just having sex with meaningless sex with random guys, though, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Well, thanks except for
that.
To it.
Except for that. Yeah. And then the relationships, how was the sex with those couple guys?
With one of them, to be honest, the guy that I actually regret going out with ever, he was actually the only person that I actually enjoyed having sex with.
And why did you regret? Adam, I know where this is going.
Well,
and,
maybe.
Yeah, and why do you regret going out with him?
There's actually a lot of reasons. He was a really jealous person. He ended up having a huge crush on my best friend.
But he was abusive.
He wasn't really abusive. He just...
I'm not getting
attitude-wise, yeah. He was verbally abusive.
A-holes are better in the sack. I mean, let's face it. They're better at almost everything. It's a sad fact. It's a fact the nicer you are, the worse you are at stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's, you know, sports, business. It doesn't matter. The nicer a guy is, the worse he is at everything.
Not everything.
Most everything.
John Ritter was good at acting and being loved by everybody.
But he was a prick.
He was a prick.
People don't know that about him. Okay, he was a good guy. But let's see. Okay, that's why, by the way, he is held up as an example of one of the very few guys that was a very humble guy, very nice guy, and a very talented guy. There's a handful of the guys. The rest are just talented pricks or talentless pricks.
More common.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But Tiffany, look, I would still say that she probably had an abusive dad, and this guy was a sign of strength to her. And these guys that symbolize or seem to be so strong become the abusers.
I'm just getting, absent dad.
So where was your dad?
My dad?
Growing up.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Your dad.
I'm actually living with my stepdad right now. My real dad lives in Missouri.
And
I'm moving out there in after Christmas.
Why did he leave?
He was an alcoholic and he was abusive, and so my mom left him when I was a baby.
Where's my bourbon?
There
physically
we go.
Abusive.
Yeah, my mom is almost practically blind. Like, she can't see unless she wears her contacts, and she has scars and everything from him.
From him belting on her.
I love that people giggle at the end of these horror stories.
Well, you got a blind mom who still shows the scars of a beating of a bad marriage. it's how you say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wasn't abusive to you.
No, I actually just met him a few years ago for the first time.
Yeah, why would you move out to where did you say it was?
Missouri.
Why would you move out to Missouri if the abusive dad is out in Missouri?
He's not abusive anymore. He used to be into drugs and alcohol and all that, and he's nothing like that anymore.
But why are you chasing this dream? I mean, the guy moved out of your life many years ago. He abandoned you.
Mom actually left him. He's tried to get a hold of me.
Beat her up like that. She left him. Yeah. Remember that, Adam.
Oh, no, I totally understand that. Like, me and my mom get in a huge fight about it all the time.
Okay, what about your poor stepdad?
He's great. I love him to death. I consider
him
more
my father.
He's the
nice guy that she doesn't get turned on by.
No.
Yeah.
Not even.
No, but I mean it symbolically. No.
Right. Okay. All right. Look, I don't know if I... First off, I don't know if I like anyone moving to Missouri. But to reunite with abusive stepdad or ex-abusive
dad... Well, that's not the reason why I'm moving out there.
Look, all right. First of all, is he in recovery now, your dad? Your biological dad? He's in recovery.
Yeah. Well, no, he doesn't drink. Well, he does drink every now and then, but nothing like that.
Tiffany, do not go near this guy. You are walking into the
hornet's nest.
You are really getting into trouble here.
I never said I was going to live with him.
Well, we immediately picked up on this dream that you have of reuniting with him, and you're fighting with your mom about that fact. This is a bad, bad idea, and you're recreating that same trauma in your relationships. And the way human brains work is that when you've been traumatized badly in childhood, that wiring is left behind as an imprint on the brain that becomes a source of attraction and arousal in adolescence. Those then guys that represent that dad become the most attractive things to you. And, of course, then sexually also, you're only sort of into that. Hmm. That's not good. That's not a good sign. And then you're in massive denial about the fact that you're sort of going after this fantasy. We picked up on that immediately.
Okay, but here's just to get back to her question, which is, the sex isn't as good as you think it's going to be because you're bouncing around.
She can't have intimacy. That's why.
All right. Find a guy. Have an intimate relationship.
She can't.
Okay.
Get some therapy. Thank you.
Have an intimate relationship, and then you'll probably find
that
work
out,
consistency you crave.
What's interesting, though, is even these people that have therapy still they have to sort of deny themselves the super arousing guys. They still are always still ultra aroused by that bad guy.
Right.
That's still that the imprint is left behind, but they can have more satisfying experiences with somebody decent.
I'm telling you, I never met a woman that didn't like a little rough trade, as I call it.
Is this back to the rape discussion?
No. Little tug of the hair, little tap on the ass. No matter what, they all love it. David, except for my mom. She don't like
it. Hey, guys. What's up?
She don't like anything. She doesn't.
Am I on now?
Never had sex.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're 24. What's up?
Yes. First off, love the show. Favorite show out of all the shows I watch or listen to.
Thanks.
My question is, my roommate has been using my computer a lot for the past few days. And a couple of days ago, I found some sort of weird, or kind of weird, like porn on there. Mm. And I assume he must have downloaded it, forgot to delete it, something like that. And I was just curious as to what this means about him, that he likes this kind of porn, which is a little bit strange.
What is it?
It's stuff with older women, which is, you know, whatever. And then some stuff with, like, pregnant women, which is, to me, kind of very bizarre. And, you know, I'm not worried about it. He's a good guy.
Let me ask you something,
sure.
Joe.
Mm.
And David.
Yes.
First off, I'm wondering about the guys who like the older women and like the old porn, because it is, I've seen the magazines. There's like,
how old?
There's one called 50 and Effable.
Nice.
It's all spelled out, though. That's good. And then there's ones called What Grandpa Used to Beat Off To. And it's all these older bronze, right? Now, here's the question. If you like older women, that's great. And you like older porn, that's great. Eventually, you'll become that age. Do they keep pushing up? Now, as you get in your 60s, they get 100, 114.
No, that's a good question. I don't know.
You like older women, don't you?
Yeah.
You're 62.
If I know men, he'll start liking 12-year-olds.
Snap back and go maybe 9?
Yeah, if I know men.
Okay, I'm just saying, and by the way, you know, we make fun of these guys. This is a nice blessing. I mean, I'm going to be, you know, the rest of my life, I'm going to be beating off the 9th-year-olds and looking at my wife getting older every day. These guys, they can't wait till the wife gets in the mid-50s.
Yeah, it's good.
You right. Think about that.
You're right.
And then the guys who, like, fat chicks got the world by the tail. That's their oyster. The world is their oyster. And Matt, if you like fat old chicks, you're in.
Come on.
I mean, imagine that combo.
You got
pick of the litter. You're like Prince Charles. You're royalty. You just want to go, hey, I'll take you. Hey, yeah, fatty, old, yeah, fatty, postmenopausal, yeah, morbidly obese, yeah, in the van, and bring your fat friends, your fat old friends. Here we go. That's it. Wherever you want. You could nail fat old celebrities. Like, it doesn't matter how big you are. This guy could be cleaning
Fields.
Carpets and be 20 and get Toadie Fields. Pow! Toadie Fields. No one knows a Toadie Fields.
I thought you liked that.
All right. David.
Yes.
And he likes the pregnant women, too, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, older women. But
none of that is crazy, bizarro stuff. And
yeah.
I wonder if he's put somebody in there to sort of sabotage you. You know,
well, it's possible, but it was on a random sort of place in the hard drive, and I thought...
All right, well, do you guys, is he weird other than this?
No, he's a real good guy, and I mean, I'm not worried about him being some weird or anything. It's just like, it's total like curiosity just kind of gnawing back my mind.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Whatever.
Yeah. That's his thing. He's fine.
I guess that's another thing, another sort of advantage if you're attracted to pregnant women, too, right?
You mean if your wife gets, if you knock your wife up? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know so much about that, because that's a phase.
It also doesn't mean he's not attracted during non-parid times.
I'm just saying, liking old women is like being a collector of... mid-80s cars with high mileage on them. You know what I mean? You can get them cheap, and nobody haggles with you too much. No problem. No one's going to steal them. Just leave them around. No big deal. Just dump a little oil in them and drive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But they do break down.
Good times.
They break down. I got to get into those older women, Drew.
Someday.
Okay. Well, and again, when does it stop? If you let's just say you've just had a serious thing for older chicks your whole life.
Yeah, what if you're 90?
Yeah, well, let's not go that far. But let's just say you're now in your 40s. And an older woman can't be 5 years older than you.
No.
She just has to keep sliding. She has to stay constantly out ahead of you like 15, 20 years.
Well, these guys aren't into women in their 40s. They're into women in their
50s and 60s. Yeah.
And that,
Yeah. Imagine, by the way, how far south your life has to go where, as a woman of 62, it's like, hey, I got a photo shoot. you know what I mean? You go to the McDonald's and see the codger behind the counter warming up the coffee, and you think, oh, Christ, what the hell happened here?
Yeah.
What happened? What went terribly wrong here? But imagine the chick that's getting naked now.
It's probably the same one that was doing it when she was 30, but didn't have quite the same range of opportunities. You know what I'm saying?
Right, because all she was an ugly 29-year-old.
Now, once again, she's
63.
Maybe
who cares?
That's diabolical.
Right. Okay.
Just act that stuff out with impunity.
See, this is why we have to talk things out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ugh, I'm tired from talking during the break. Let's just take this segment off, Drew.
I would love to do a show just Loveline Breaks. Some of the best stuff goes on then.
Adam goes on rants.
a lot more of the F word than I think people think comes out of your mouth. Noticing that tonight.
That's why I should be commended for not actually using it on the air.
Yep, you're right.
And here's the thing. Everyone says, I'm used to using it.
Right.
Like our listeners would work it in. If they're, you know, they could be speaking to the queen,
the
and they would use the F word because, like, oh, hey
sorry,
pardon me, you're a effing pontiff, but that's the way I speak. I couldn't help. Yeah, you can help. You just, you have to listen.
You got to pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. Carly?
Hello?
You're 20?
Yeah. Oh, my What's gosh. That? I love you guys so much. I can't even believe I'm on. I've been
Thanks.
Listening to you since I was, like, 14.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I've never been in a real relationship before. I've only ever had casual sex and, like, just random, like, hookups. And it's getting, really old.
Why do you think you've not had a relationship? What's the problem?
What?
Why do you think that's the case? Why haven't you been able to have a relationship? If you've wanted one, why can't you have one?
I don't know. I think I have, like, walls that I, like... Like,
where do those come from?
I don't know.
What do you mean walls?
Like
sound,
like kind of like I'm kind of like sequester myself off from like a relationship. I think all maybe because right. I'm afraid of getting hurt.
And where did that? Where have you been hurt?
No, let's just get to it. Your dad split, or it was horrible, or what happened?
No, my parents were together.
Is your dad good? Do you like him?
Yeah, I love my dad. I mean, he's Irish and a...
Alcoholic.
He's really stubborn, but he's, like, a good dad.
Is he an alcoholic?
No.
No. Okay. All right, so, I don't know. What do you mean? You love him very much, but he's Irish and he's stubborn. What does that mean?
Well, he's just... We're complete, absolute opposites.
I love the way people just cover. This won't
get
any good.
I know.
What am I covering?
It's like I'm on a. Or everything's a first date, and we're trying to get a blowjob here. Hey, baby. Oh, no. Junior college. What? Oh, Hispanic studies. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Can I have my BJ now? We got to talk. Okay, we'll keep talking. What? Oh, your cat talks to you? Or he thinks he's a dog? Oh, he thinks he's a person. Interesting. He thinks he's. How do you know he's. Okay, because he does. He knows what you're thinking. Fantastic. Okay, can I have my BJ now? Oh, there's more. You want to talk about cheerleading camp from 9 years ago? That's great. Oh, Tammy was a bitch, was she? Jealous. I understand. Can I have
my
BJ
sorry.
Now?
What are you trying to get at here? You think my dad's like a bad guy?
Well, no, not necessarily a bad person, but was he abusive or rageful or something? What do you mean he's stubborn? What does that mean? You're different? What would happen?
There's, like, so many things that happen. I don't know. We get in fights all the time.
Did he ever hit you?
Oh, never.
He never hit you, but you'd have these sort of verbal fights.
Yeah.
Did he ever kick you out of the house or anything dramatic like that?
A couple of times.
He kicked you out of the house.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Dad's an a-hole.
Well, probably.
Sorry, but he is.
Maybe Carly is, too, but Look, you guys had a tumultuous relationship, you and your father.
Yeah, but we still get along.
Okay, you get along. All right, I'm putting her on hold because I'm tired of her disagreeing. She had a charged relationship with
abusive.
Her father.
Abusive.
Well, I don't know if it's abusive.
Oh, yes.
Listen, I've known her for 2 minutes. I want to abuse her. She's angry.
And you know what that means.
That means she's wrong, and I'm
no,
right.
No, it means she's an abuse victim. They evoke that in you like crazy.
That's true. I can always tell when I want to smack somebody. It means someone was smacking them before me.
That's exactly right.
It's like they warmed them up for me.
They are that victim.
They set the table.
They set the table, and you just knocked everything over.
All right. So Carly is in a lot of denial. She's sort of angry about it, and I think she's angry that anyone who goes scratching around or poking around.
Right. Men make her look at these things. he's a great guy. I'm sure, yes, you love your dad. I get that. But there has been some very serious dysfunction in your relationship with him. As such, it's been painful, and the possibility of future intimacy or any intimacy means pain. So you avoid it.
All right.
Natural enough.
Good.
If you want to have that in your life, you're going to have to do a little work.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
Have and I would bet that I was an alcoholic, too. I bet money.
Irish guy. Come on.
Rageful Irish guy.
Nah, yeah, next thing you know, you're going to tell me American Indian strength. Jesse?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my psychiatrist is prescribing medication to my father. It's called Ambien. He takes way too much of it.
Your father?
Huh?
He's prescribing Ambien to your father.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
He takes way too much of it.
How do you know how much he takes?
Well, I've watched him around the house. My mom counts his pills.
And how many is he taking?
He takes 3 to 4 milligrams a day.
Ooh.
How many?
3 to 4 pills a day, you mean?
Yeah.
Ooh. And that's a buzz.
40 milligrams.
Buzz. You forget.
You've done that.
Okay, right. And, well, I've asked her to stop, and she refuses. And I just want to know, I mean, do you think that she has an obligation to...
The psychiatrist is a woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is your dad addicted or alcoholic in other ways?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is.
All right. Well, this psychiatrist does not understand how to manage an alcoholic addict. Now, there may be other priorities in his psychiatric care that she's trying to attend to first. There are situations where it can be important, life-saving, stabilizing, to give people medications that might adversely impact their addictive disease if their psychiatric illness is such that they're in harm's way. Now, Ambien is not a medicine that typically sort of you would use for important reasons. And the fact that he's getting addicted to it, which is very common,
yeah.
It's just more, it doesn't really matter. He's just addicted. You guys are probably going to have to do an intervention and get him into some sort of inpatient treatment where he can be detoxified. Because Ambien withdrawal is rather awful.
Oh, yeah?
It is.
Not for me.
He goes through it about every 2 weeks.
Yeah, well.
Well, love of it. I don't understand something. She gives him enough of this stuff to give him... Three or four pills a day? Doesn't isn't
oh,
she
no.
aware of that?
She doesn't do that. He takes way too much of it.
Yeah, but why does she keep refilling it?
I don't know. You'd have to ask.
You know what you got to do, Jesse? Contact the pharmacy where he's getting these things.
Yeah?
Because they tend to have a little more ability to track these things. And
okay.
Let them, and they if they know something like this is going on and they continue to fill it, they have a problem. So that might help out a little bit. But really, get him into treatment. I mean, the bottom line, he needs to be in addiction treatment, and that's that. So.
Hey, that Ambien is yummy. I
really
love that stuff.
That's where you started talking about my scoring on your behalf. It was in relation to that drug.
Yeah. I missed that Ambien.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
Gotta
I had
score.
To cut you off.
Got to score some more. Oh, don't worry.
You found another
I know
source.
Dr. Marcel. He's like Elvis's doctor. Whatever it takes. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever.
Just have
I'll
colonel.
Be there to...
Colonel calls him up.
I got a bed waiting for you.
Now, you know what? I love that Ambien, and if you give me that Ambien, I'll eat it. But here's the thing, and then I'm out of it, and then I'm out of it.
And then for how long?
A couple hours, then I get the shakes. Go get some more. No, I get out of it and don't think about it. Months.
I see what you mean. But, I mean, does it knock you out for a day or two after? I mean, does it affect your memory or any word finding? Or?
I'm not as sharp as I normally would be,
right.
But I'm so much sharper than everyone else all the time that it really
no
just
notices.
Brings me down to normal
yeah,
level.
That's good. Well, you don't
see
want to be normal.
And modest as well.
But, yeah.
No, I'm just saying it makes you it makes you a little goofy the next day.
I'm still back with the raping crime and other crimes.
But,
all being the same.
You know, I got to tell you, Drew, just to be honest, is a guy who's never really felt like he's got a full night's sleep in his life.
Yeah.
And who likes to have a couple of couple of pops before he goes to bed at night,
yeah.
maybe a sleeping pill or something like that.
Right.
I walk around all day, every day, with a sort of quasi-soupy head.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just I can feel my head. Where my forehead?
That's the sleeping.
Not thinking too clearly, not too sharp, but still can rally.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm like a good athlete who doesn't train too hard and still can get by. Yeah, still get by.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just interested in getting by. I don't want to be that good.
Oh, I understand that. I've seen that.
Thank you. All right, take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Blah. We need someone to do weather and sports and traffic on this show so we can just, and then play a few songs. I just like to be a traffic cop for a while. I'm tired of spinning plates. I just want to sit back. Is there somebody can come in? How about a movie review? How about you do a movie review? What day is it? Tuesday. Drew does a movie review. Huh?
No.
Okay. All right, where are we? What are we doing? We're going to take some calls?
Sure. And then we're going to interview with our Fox Cleveland affiliate.
Yeah. Now, why is our Fox Cleveland affiliate here?
Let her answer.
What do you mean, our Fox Cleveland affiliate?
Well, we are a new station in Cleveland. And the television station locally wanted to do some interviewing. I don't know if that was motivated because of our new affiliate, but they...
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No.
No offense. Nothing personal.
And this is Suzanne?
Stratford.
I'm going to write that down.
Because you'll forget.
Yeah. Suzanne Stratford. And now what is... what now?
Wait, I'm supposed to interview you.
Okay, but first...
You're asking me questions.
What are you doing here? Did you come out here from Cleveland?
We did.
For what? For this? For Drew?
Well... November's approaching, and there are plenty of stories that I'm sure our viewers would be interested in, and dealing with important subjects such as sexual issues, dealing that everybody in society faces.
But you
hooking up and buddy sex.
You came out to do a story on Drew, correct?
No, we're doing different stories on different topics, but Drew's our expert since he's the.
Oh, I see. So are you guys traveling around then?
No, I just did an interview with them today, and I said, "Hey, come on, come to the radio studio and talk to Adam."
Oh, okay.
Get some pictures.
All right, so you got your cameraman here.
Right.
And, here's what happened. And so Susan's been hanging out the whole show, just quietly, probably enjoying herself. And and they've been filming me and Drew and all that kind of stuff. And Susan said, do you have time for an interview? And we decided maybe it'd be better to do it on the air.
No. You said you've got to do it between now and 12 o'clock. And...
Right, because I have to leave the second that... I like to actually leave a little before 12 tonight. But then we realized Drew brought up that we don't have a guest tonight, obviously, or maybe we do. And Susan and also Suzanne.
Thank you.
You know, my wife's best friend is Suzanne, and your wife, Drew, is Susan.
Yeah.
And if you screw up one of the inflections on one of the syllables, everyone acts.
You're talking about a different person.
It starts in childhood. That's a childhood parent thing.
It's so painful. Yeah. All right. So now, wait a minute. We got the Suzanne.
Yeah.
Suzanne.
Okay. All right. So anyway, the point is we've done interviews on the air where they interviewed us before. So why don't we just do that? We don't have
boring
a guess. What
bit.
The hell? Yeah. We never get interviewed. We're always interviewing everyone else. What questions do you have for us, Suzanne?
Go ahead.
I'm sure my news director is probably sitting back at the station or sitting back in Cleveland listening to the radio up late at night going, I sent you to California for sweep stories. Now you're going to ask them on the air. That's
yeah, go okay. ahead. What do you got? Do you have anything?
Do I have anything for you?
Well, yeah.
Just do it!
All right. Well, the reason we're here, though, the main reason is we're talking about a lot of the sex trends with teenagers, and you certainly you talk a lot about sex and stuff.
Sure.
But I was guessing that when you talk about buddy sex and teenagers and how they have multiple partners, and you're talking about 15-year-olds having 50-plus partners, that to you probably would sound like a good thing, whereas to Dr. Drew, that was definitely not a good thing.
No, I don't think it's good to have a 15-year-old have 50-plus partners. I mean, Actually, Drew's a man of supreme passion. I don't know if he's made that abundantly clear to you.
I'd be more into that than you would
right.
be.
Yeah, but no, I make fun of everybody and have a good time, make several thousand beat off jokes an hour, but I still realize that 15-year-olds having multiple partners probably not a great idea, and all that orgies and everything that's going on in junior high is probably not the healthiest thing.
Here's a question: how did you become a sex expert? Because I've seen your show, I've seen you guys on when you were on MTV, and I've heard you on the radio, but I never really realized how you became the sex expert.
I just became one from doing this show, really.
How did you start the show?
Well, the show was on the radio in Los Angeles for a good 10 years before, maybe 12 years before. Drew, what year are you on in this show? Year 20?
Oh, this may be starting 21, like December.
Okay, so the show was on 12 years before I got here, and I used to listen to this show because I grew up in the Los Angeles area and was a K-Rock fan, which is the mother station where the show all began. I used to listen to this show as a kid. Well, shouldn't say as a kid, but senior year of high school probably, and then later on in life as I worked at night and drove around, I'd always listen to this show. So,
and call in with questions, I'm sure.
Now, we did call in with a bogus question one time. I put some friends up to it and actually videotaped it in my kitchen of my apartment when I was like 19. But I never called in. But I did enjoy Drew and the poor man who was on at the time, and then Ricky Rackman later on. So I always enjoyed the show, and it's almost surreal to be sitting here.
And then?
But I am over it.
Yeah, for quite some time.
Said, yeah.
But then the boxing thing.
What's the boxing thing?
Well, how did I get here?
Yeah,
yeah. I used to be a boxing instructor, and I trained Jimmy Kimmel to do some boxing a long, long time ago before I knew him for some radio stunt. We made friends, and he got me in on the radio.
Well, then what was the character you did that I heard?
I don't want to bore everybody around.
A perverted woodshop instructor.
Yeah, Mr. Bertram, who you can hear...
On Crank Yankers,
Tuesday nights, by the way, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central. So anyway, that's right.
And I heard him, and the TV show came along.
Now, you're recently married.
Yes.
Okay, so how does your wife handle some of your responses? Does she listen anymore?
Did she listen previously? First of all, you heard how she found his... soiled pants in the living room, okay?
That's
what she lives with.
I didn't say soiled. Discarded.
Okay, I beg your pardon.
It's a big difference.
Okay.
And there's a difference between the position, the lay of your pants when you're taking them off to beat off, and then taking them off to take them off to take a shower. The beat off is they're smashed down. They're still standing up. It's just the legs are collapsed. Remember how the Wicked Witch, when she got the water thrown on her? You just go straight down that way.
Yeah.
As if someone just pulled you out of them and they just fell straight down. When you're getting in a shower, you take them off, you lay them across something, you lay them on a chair.
Right.
There's
Good
something
point.
Deliberate. You take them up, you reach down and pull from the heel.
Right. That's right.
When you're beating off, you throw them down, you shove them down,
and you
jump out of them. So when they just look like a bucket sitting there. That's like a spittoon with a crotch in it.
In fact, Suzanne cracked me up totally today. She goes, I hear some married couple, they only have sex 5 times a year. She goes, how is that possible? I go, okay.
Yeah.
Now I have to look for the pants. I've only been married a year. We just had our first anniversary, so.
My wife doesn't listen to the show.
Okay.
I mean, quite honestly.
Did she watch The Man Show? Was she on The Man Show one time?
Yeah. She was on one time. She's got TiVo. She goes to bed early. She's not interested in what I have to say. She gets an assful of my yapping during the week, and she's not that interested. And I really count on doing this show with no one I know listening. And that's why I can.
How many times
I call my dad a pussy on this show?
Every night.
But I'll call my dad the biggest pussy in the world and then go out to lunch with him tomorrow. He doesn't listen.
Is it one of those Howard Stern things, though, where you worry that she's going to be buying a home or grocery shopping and everybody's going to surround her and say, did you hear what your husband said on the radio last night? Does that happen?
Didn't we have something like that happen?
Once.
That woman at work.
Now, your husband was flirting, remember that?
Yeah, once in a while, one of the C's she works with decides to fill her ear with some piece of erroneous something. Yeah. And I'm really hoping that something heavy lands on them and just kills them. But other than the Kuzes at work who once in a while nibble on her ear and tell her something out of context that I may have said on this radio, like I was hitting on some guest or something, which does happen. But... other than that, she's fine. Listen, here's the thing, too. Really, seriously. I make all the money. I do everything. I don't give a rat's ass. That's it.
If you bring home the bacon and she...
Brings home the bacos. Explain her. No, listen.
She spends it.
It's not a disrespect thing, but I make a ton of money compared to her not making all that much money, and I don't give a rat's ass what she said. And as my mom said to me 2 days ago when I was on... Kimmel, she said, I watched you, but I didn't appreciate one of the things you said, which is you said we were talking about rats. You said they were like old Jews. They would eat anything. And I thought that was, you know, herring, liver, gefilte fish, you know, electrical wiring, drywall. She said, I think that was insensitive. I didn't appreciate it.
I'm surprised you didn't bring that up on the radio.
She's not, my mom's not Jewish, but she looks out for all kinds other than her own goddamn family. So I just said, yeah, well, so what? Who cares? You know, and she said, well, I just don't think it's a nice, yeah, no, who cares? I don't care. Do whatever you want.
You didn't lay into her.
No, I didn't have any reason to lay into her. But if my wife says, like, hey, I just got to tough ass. It's the same thing I would say to anybody who says anything about what I say. Drew, have I ever had a, I'm sorry, I'm going to fix that?
No.
I just say, all right, so what? Who cares? So, look, fire me, divorce me, or just shut up.
No 4-carat diamond rings yet?
No. Listen, I'm not into all that. I'm not into this thing in a relationship where the guy, like Drew does, where you have to spend your whole life on the ropes, apologizing, sending flowers. Listen, I build the houses, I spend the money, I make 1,000 times more than she does, and I give her a good life. Good. Now quiet down.
And she gets to spend the money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no complaints there.
Yeah, I'm just not going to get on the ropes. Drew over here is apologizing and backpedaling and kissing his ass and her ass and everyone else's ass. And Drew goes to the Playboy Mansion to do a politically incorrect a few years ago. His wife starts screaming at him, you went to the Playboy Mansion without me. You never told me. You lied. Drew's like, I'm sorry. That was dishonest. Look, and here's the other thing, too, with women. They're like kids. When they'll start spinning out. They'll get out of control.
That's not true.
Yes.
You can't say that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Are you kidding?
That's not true.
Listen, here's the deal with women. God bless
them. It's not true. I swear it's not true.
They're good at certain things, but their minds are slightly more feeble than guys, and they will spin out. They will. Drew's wife is already out of control. It's that horse has got out in the barn. There's nothing you can do about it. And Drew should keep her in check, but he doesn't. Drew, why don't you?
She's great. What are you talking about?
Okay, she's a dynamite lady. He's scared to talk now. All I'm saying is I don't do anything wrong. I'm not cheating. I'm not screwing around. I'm not doing anything like that. So I got nothing to apologize for.
And that's all that matters
to every woman.
That's all that matters.
Well, no, I apologize if I don't pay attention. I do something that inadvertently
You're apologizing
somebody.
For going to the Playboy Mansion to do politically incorrect the week Bill Maher does politically incorrect from the Playboy Mansion, and you rush out of there at 8:30 so you can get to this gig. That's you have to apologize to your wife is if you went to a pajama party at the Playboy Mansion.
No, right.
You need to tug her chain a little and tell her, look, relax.
That's not apologizing. Apologizing is when you're dating somebody and you stumble upon the porn collection. That's like you're talking about weird porn. That's when you start apologizing.
I know, Drew.
Adam does not apologize
for that either, though.
Yeah. Well, you would if this was your collection. You'd be apologizing.
It was your collection?
No. Somebody I dated. Mm. Yeah.
What was in it?
Weird? Was it weird?
Yeah, it was weird.
Like what?
Stump?
And there was
stuff?
A lot of it, and it was really creepy, and it was hidden under T-shirts.
Was like it what? From Germany?
No Scheiser films, no.
Germany's not that just the weirdest of everything.
No, it was weird, though.
But like...
What was it?
I probably
animals?
No, nothing like that.
Well, you're one of these people that just thinks all porn is weird.
No, that's not true. I mean, it's not my thing, but it's obviously not my thing. But
well, what? If it wasn't animal porn,
you were in the military. That must have been.
Was it animal?
Weird.
What kind of porn was it?
I don't want to say.
All right. Well, that's enough. We're done then.
You got to answer questions.
I said what kind of porn it is, or we're done. And okay, we're done.
I can't say.
All right. That's fine.
I have a morality clause. I can't say.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But shut her mic. Chris, yes, shut the mic. All right,
what does that have to do with?
No, it doesn't matter. No, it's off. Brian?
Oh. Hello?
Well, look, I don't
know. So she's writing it down. She's writing it down for you.
No.
Yeah.
Still, mic's still off. Brian?
Hello?
You're 23.
Yes.
What's
female?
That?
Females or males?
Male.
Oh, true. Please.
Hello?
It's what you were talking about, Adam.
Brian?
This guy's into the stuff that you were talking about.
All right. Well, we're moving ahead with the show.
The world is his oyster.
We're moving forward with the show.
All right.
Thank you. Brian?
Hello? Yes?
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I moved out of my house about 4 years ago, and I started living a homosexual lifestyle. I'd always had these feelings and things, and I started acting out them, but it just, I never felt any sort of fulfillment through the relationships I was going through.
Yeah, it sounds like you're talking about somebody else. Like he moved out, he lived a homosexual lifestyle. You like men, that's your thing.
Yeah.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
I was, actually.
By a male?
Yes, by an older boy about down the street.
Have you resolved that stuff? We generally say that you know, can set up the orientation, but once it's there, it's there.
It's there. What are you going to do?
Well, what I'm saying is, now that I've done this and everything, people that I'm with are saying, well, I'm sorry, you know, you are how you are. And my whole thing is, I don't want to. You know, I'm not feeling any sort of, you know, acceptance or fulfillment in my life at all to this point. I mean, honestly, it's like I've gone to college. I've lived a life that I thought I wanted. I thought that it would make me feel better because I always felt like I was hiding. Hiding from what I really wanted, what I really felt like who I was. And then I went out and lived it, and it was like...
Can you put him on hold for a second?
Yeah.
He's feeling it.
Now,
What's the deal here?
He's changed gears a little bit. A
couple times. I kept expecting a punchline almost because it's like I didn't feel it. I mean, it might be real. It might be part of the way he sort of...
Well, he's trying to get us to feel it. I'm just not sure if he feels it.
And that it's maybe that dissociation that we're picking up on Du Bois. It's like
But it's not the flat aspect.
No.
We don't feel it. It almost feels like bad acting.
Right. Exactly.
But
exactly.
As we've talked about in the past, a certain percentage of society doesn't sound believable.
Right. That's right. No, that's right.
No matter what they do.
But I'm not getting a question.
Keanu Reeves is one of those.
Oh man.
One of that segment of society that's just, no matter what comes out of his mouth, it's not believable. Ironically, he's an actor, but all right.
So what's the question?
Brian?
Yes, hello?
Uh-huh. What college did you go to?
I went to BYU, Idaho. Brigham Young University of Idaho.
Really? They got one of those?
Yeah. I am LDS, Mormon.
Wow. All right.
And so are you not able to tell anybody about this because of that?
I hide, and what I'm trying to ask here, what I'm trying to get across is, as I'm struggling through this with your, you know, your sex therapist, whatever, is it possible for me to switch this orientation, these desires that I have? I mean, everyone I go to says you're hiding who you are, you need to be who you are.
Well,
to change.
The current evidence suggests that once this, whatever the wiring is that sets up sexual orientation is set, it's pretty much set. Now, there are people out there who claim they can change people's orientation. That is certainly not mainstream thought.
Yeah.
And people actually believe they might be screwing people up a little bit by trying to do that.
Well, you do that move where you take the penis and you put it in the Bible and you just slap it like the clapper when you're making a movie.
Teaching
you know,
a lesson.
When you slate, you know, you're making a movie, slap.
Right.
That's the only effective way I can think of. Hey, Brian.
Yeah?
Okay, here's the problem. All right, now I'm going to talk to Drew about this.
Yeah.
So, you start off, you're not going to be gay.
Right.
That's the way you go. Your family's Mormon, and did he say his Mormon family?
Yep.
Okay. What's the LDS? Is Latter-day Saints?
Yeah.
Does everyone need five names? Can we just stick with Mormons? It's more confusing. And I thought LDS was like a Luke Gehrig's disease or something.
That's ALS.
Okay. Yeah. See how confusing this
is? Alphabet soup, yes.
Here's the point. You start off straight as an arrow. You got the Mormon family. Then all of a sudden, some guy gets hold of you down the street, and he gets in during the formative years. Mm-hmm. And you're like a young sprout. Ah, here's what I want to say: if a full grown oak tree, you could hang a tire swing on it. The whole tree's not going to lurch to that side. The roots are in the ground. Yeah. It ain't going anywhere.
Right.
But when it's a young sapling and you start pulling it to one side, it's going to end up growing that way.
And then trying to pull it back?
Wasn't meant to grow that way,
right.
But you put weight on it, and that weight was the guy down the street who was molesting this kid. Mm-hmm. Now it's growing that way. Once it starts growing that way, what do you think you're going to do, bend it back?
No.
Now, it breaks if you try to bend it back.
It's
There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now he's feeling sort of trapped because he's feeling like the guy who wasn't supposed to be gay, but he is gay.
Well, he doesn't want to be gay, which a lot of young males who are gay feel. They want to deny it. They want to change it.
He feels like this wasn't his destiny, but that this guy caused him to go that direction. Mm. So now what do you do? Because, you know, as a part of just hunker down with guys. But, I mean, it's like, really?
That's one way to do it. I mean, that'd be the mainstream way of doing it, really.
I know, but really because...
Now, listen, all right, here's the deal. Right,
some guy down the street put his hand down your underoos?
You'll always appreciate it. We'll take it back to you. We've got to undo your preoccupation with the big breasts.
How dare you?
Okay? That's it. End of discussion, yes?
Take that back. Take it back.
I take it back. I'm sorry. Didn't you just tell me not to apologize? Look, right? Yeah, how are we gonna do that and take that out of you? Even if we took it out of you, you know, and let you live within a small-breasted world, what would happen?
Shh, quiet.
You understand?
Yes.
And I don't know. You know, again, it was your mom's neglect and the abuse and all that stuff. You suffered.
How dare you?
Created the preoccupation with parts of women's bodies.
How dare you speak of my mother?
I beg your pardon.
That woman is a saint.
Or just in the abstract, if your mother had behaved like that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But the point is we don't live in a society that comes down on guys who like a big set of cans.
Right.
I was able to do a TV show about that and make some money. Well, they're just queer eye for the straight guy.
There you go.
Okay. So it's more complicated than just saying, listen, go for what you know or be who you are
or
whatever.
No, that's right. It's very painful.
Here's what I would say. If you got molested by the guy down the street for a long period of time, you need therapy. You need to look into
that. Just from that. Regardless of your
age. So that's it. Yeah. Don't be tortured.
Right.
I know it's hard to tell someone not to be tortured, but don't make a move, hey, I'm gay, hey, I'm straight, hey, I'm bi. Say, hey, I'm a guy who needs to be in some therapy.
Right.
I'm going to sort some things out, get my head together, take a little time off, and then I'm going to come back into the game with a clear head. And whatever direction I go,
that'll be
the one I choose.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. We were just talking to Suzanne. That's our ABC affiliate in Cleveland. Fox. All right, Fox. I don't know. Whatever the affiliate is in Cleveland. Out here doing a story. Talking to Dr. Drew.
Whatever.
All right. Drew, did you use this pen I have? Is it horribly unsatisfying to write with this pen? It's too thin.
Yeah, it's too thin. Yeah, we're used to the big fat pens now. Yeah.
No, not big fat. I've said it once. I'll say it 1,000 times. Like you go to the goddamn store to buy pens. It's like it comes in fine, extra fine, and dental instrument.
Yeah.
Is there anyone you know that that thing when you're writing with the pen and it feels like you're scratching, you're embossing it into the paper more than you're actually drawing? Like, hey, you want to find out what I just wrote? Take a piece of charcoal and rub it over the top. Its negative will appear. Regular pens? Everyone likes a medium pen. No one likes the super ultra fine writing instrument. What are we doing?
The kids like that.
No, they little don't. Kids. No, but it feels like you're scratching and everything looks ugly. You get a nice little thick, nice medium stream there. It looks nice. I can't stand this. What is this? How come everything's ultra super fine? And that probably isn't even ultra fine. That's just regular.
It's fine.
It's not fine. It sucks. Fine sucks. Start making medium, and everyone start buying medium. And what's going on, Drew? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I also
can't use these little pens anymore. They got to be fast.
And what's this feel like when you're drawing?
Like you're using a toothpick.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
And this is fine. Oh, but I like the ultra super fine. Super ultra. It's so fine, you can't read it. What the hell's going on with this society, Drew? Took a vote and said we only like super ultra fine pens?
Somebody must buy them and they would not manufacture them.
Because people are stupid. That's why. Christina?
Yeah.
What's
I have a
up,
question.
Baby doll? Yeah.
What's wrong with me? I'm in a relationship and I don't know.
Hold on a second. Let me say this too, along with all that kind of stuff. I don't know why it just popped in my head, but I've been yelling about this in the past, too. Why is every goddamn pair of shoes I have tennis shoes? The shoelaces are 27 inches long on both sides,
yeah,
so I
got to
try a triple knot and then trip over it.
Yeah.
Who does this? Who manufactures these things?
Yeah.
Really?
Right.
You don't put a foot in your goddamn shoe and tie a bow? You need an extra 17 inches hanging off the goddamn thing? What is that? Are we just being effed with? What is that? Does this corporate America get together and go, yeah, let's give them a choice between super ultra fine and ultra super fine and drive them nuts. And then you know what we'll do? Hey, Bob, I got a great idea. Every pair of tennis shoes we sell, 28-inch laces hanging off each side. So they got to double knot everything and then tuck the extra 14 inches into the shoes so they don't step on. Hey, Bert, hold on. I don't want to be a naysayer, but what if they just clip them and cut them short? No, they can't. They can't because they'll fray. They don't have the little stays at the end. It'll unravel that way. Good. Good job. And what about dress shoes? Should we make those long? No. No,
too,
we'll
short.
Make them too short.
Too short.
We'll make them too short. That'll really get them.
And make them out of rock.
Yeah, we'll make them out of cat gut with no flexibility to them. And have to tie them with their using tweezers. That's great. Okay, tennis shoes, way too long. Dress shoes, way too short. Pens, extra super ultra fine. All right. Wait, are they just trying to get everyone to kill themselves? Because that's what I would do if I was trying to get people to kill themselves.
Yeah.
I would subtly F with them that way. I have 30 pair of tennis shoes. I just sit there and think, what am I going to do with all the... I could, if you took the extra lace I have on every pair of tennis shoes I've owned over my life, you could turn the world into a yo-yo. You could wrap it around the world 15 times and walk the dog. I could do cats in the cradle with the world. Do you understand?
I understand.
Do they save money by handing out extra laces? Is that cheaper?
It's hard to understand.
Is a 46-inch lace cheaper than a 22-inch lace? What is it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Whose foot is that goddamn wide that it would use up that kind of lace on that tennis shoe?
Nobody.
There would have to be 13 inches of just open span of your foot.
Yes.
Like Shaq would have to squeeze into my shoe in order to use the lace up that it's there
to make
for.
It even closer.
And then it would be the wrong shoe for the size foot.
Right. Completely.
Does anyone ever talk about this? Can we get to the bottom of this? Why? I don't understand. You walk on it, they get all filthy. You go into the men's room, they sit in a puddle of urine. Got the double bow. Oh, no. And then everyone's got a tip. I wrap mine around my ankle 3 or 4 times, cut the circulation off. Then I do a double bow, and I tuck the extra up my ass. What is that?
I can't imagine.
Look! Figure out how much you need for a normal bow, and that's the goddamn shoe length. That's the length of the lace. I'd say I'm just eyeballing it here, Drew, but I'll tell you what I need on the side of my shoe. I need about 9 inches.
At most.
That's
tops.
Here's my range. 7.5 to 9.
Yeah.
9 1/4. 7.5 to 9. 9 5/16. 7.5 to 9 5/16. That's the range I need.
Yeah.
I got 26 inches hanging
off. That
should,
by the way, satisfy everybody.
You know what they're
not
hoping?
Just you.
They're hoping we'll hang ourselves with that extra lace. That's their plan. Sorry. Tennis shoes, 1,000 feet. And here's the thing, too. All right, maybe
it's one lace.
No.
Cover the high tops.
No. Because the high tops, you got to wrap twice around here. Whenever I play hoop, it's like, oh, what do I do with all this extra lace?
Wow.
The high tops got to be doubled. They just do the percentage. It's the same thing. It's just longer. It's like we need to have 70% more lace than is actually usable. And I don't care if it's a wrestling boot that goes up to your kneecap. It's going to happen. That'll be 40 feet of extra lace we'll have to put on that. Or if you're just wearing just a little deck shoe that has three little crossovers there, that's gonna be just 14 inches. Yeah, it's perfect. It's great. Let's all kill ourselves. Let's all hang ourselves by these laces, or let's stab ourselves through the jugular with the extra fine pens. You don't even feel them going in. Like syringes.
Christina?
Yeah.
Now you can go.
I was wondering, is there something wrong with me? I'm in a relationship, and I don't know whether or not I should go forward with having sex with him because I'm not usually sexually active, and I'm not a virgin. But the thing is with me is I don't find pleasure in sex, period.
Hmm. Meaning you don't want it and it isn't pleasant when you do it?
No, I want it. I want pleasure. I just don't feel it. There's nothing there.
When you say nothing there, you mean you're not feeling pleasure or you're feeling like numb?
I'm feeling like, what am I doing numb?
What am I doing numb? But not physically numb, like you're dissociated from parts of your body.
Our callers I give A or B, and they go A and a half.
No, it's just numb. Like, I don't have that feeling. Like,
are you on a medication?
No, I'm not on any medication.
Here's what I'm saying. This is quite true. You can eat food that you don't like and you just don't seem to enjoy it. Then you can go to the dentist, get your gums numbed up, get a bunch of fillings and eat something. And even if it's something you like, you can't taste it. It doesn't feel right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is this a problem where you physically can't feel yourself down there? It just feels like someone iced you down or it's numb? Or it's just you're just not interested?
No, it's like... For instance, I'll have sex.
No, listen, it ain't no. It's A or B.
It's I'm just physically like it's not physically numb. I don't feel it. Like there's no satisfaction out of it. Like it's numb.
Yeah, just say it's not physically numb, but I just don't enjoy it. Don't say it's
because feeling suggests numb, right? Not feeling numb.
So, listen, I'm gonna start talking about loafers. What's with the tassels? All right.
Is there something wrong with me?
Well, are you ever get abused or raped or anything?
When I was younger, I was sexually assaulted, but that has never happened. I was, I believe, 12.
And what happened?
I was dragged into a room and I was assaulted.
Who did this?
What does assaulted mean? What happened?
I was in a group home and...
Okay, well...
Group home.
It wasn't a staff. It was a co-ed group home. And
Why were you in a group home?
Both my parents passed away.
Both?
What did they die from?
Car accidents.
Accidents, though.
Yeah, they were both.
Not the same
related one.
They what?
Yeah.
They're both what?
They were both drug related.
Okay.
They both were like high and got into an accident?
Yeah, well, what it is both my parents were drug addicts. My dad died when I was 3, and my mom died when I was 9.
Wow.
Right, but both in a car.
Both in car accidents, yeah.
All right. Boy, Christina's had a tough life.
Yeah.
our life is miserable now, too, just trying to get stuff out of her.
Yeah, but, I mean, right. The only thing is I was living in the group home. I went upstairs to go get something out of my room, and he grabbed me and dragged me in his room and just...
Yeah. How old was he?
He was 16.
And you were 12.
Yeah.
All right, so that's pretty heavy. And then your parents being drug addicts is pretty heavy. And then your parents dying is pretty heavy. So you're it's really amazing that you're even where you are now.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Are you in any therapy?
I was in therapy for a while. And actually, I just got my own apartment and I'm living on my own. And it's really good for me because I think I need to be by myself.
Do you work?
Yeah, I work.
Were you sexually compulsive at one time?
No, actually, I wasn't.
You've always been kind of shut down.
I didn't really think about it.
Okay,
that's good. That's the best alternative outcome to these kinds of situations.
All right, so here's the thing. It's going to be a while before your vagina points to true north.
Yeah,
it's a compass that's been with a bunch of magnets around it.
Yeah, and just be really careful. Go very slow. Don't have relationships for a while. Maybe go back into therapy. It's going to be tough for you to be intimate. It's going to be tough for you to really be physically close to someone and get to a point where you like sex. Hopefully you'll find somebody that with whom you feel safe enough and attracted enough to that you can start to do this. But you're 18. Take your time, maybe a long time before you start to feel something more satisfying.
And by the way, those group homes, I mean, what do they think goes on in those places?
Co-ed group home.
I mean, just a bunch of screwed up kids who are victims of abuse. Show me some 6-year-old kid whose pops was beating on him and physically and sexually abusing him his whole life and then dump him off with some 11 and 12-year-old chicks. Hey, no, Tommy, that's your side of the hall. You said, and we're going on the honor system. No rape. By the way, act of violence. Not a sexual crime.
So in other words, if that same child had gone in and ripped off some celery from the refrigerator.
And came.
Same as rape.
Right, so we were talking about earlier in the show that rape is not an act of sex.
I'm not sure. Another example.
But it's an act of violence where you come.
So what else could he have done would have been the same crime at that group home as raping?
Sometimes they keep a change bucket like in the ashtray. Let's say the parents will come home. Yeah, they'll empty. You'll oftentimes do this. You'll take your extra change. Meter money. You'll throw it in an ashtray. You'll throw it in a tray by the front door, oftentimes by the entryway.
Oftentimes, yes.
Stealing that handful of nickels, quarters, and dimes is the same as rape. It's a crime. But you got to come.
In the jar?
In the actual tray. That's right. You stick them all together and you make a paperweight out of the change.
That's a crime.
All right. Drew's laughing based on something that was funny an hour and a half ago.
This seems never evergreen.
Well, it's just the fact that everyone is always very, all the women's groups are always very clear to do that. Rape. It's not a sexual crime. It's a crime. It's a crime of violence. It's a crime of violence, which is somehow makes it okay. And it's a crime of violence where you come. Which is, I try to explain to everyone, the sexual, to me, by the way, it can be a sexual crime. That still means it's bad.
That's right.
Like they always
and it can be both violent and sexual.
Right.
Which is really the point.
They always do that thing, though. I don't know why all the women's groups are always into this, though, like where you go like, well, anyway, she's a rape victim. Rape survivor. Really? Not a victim? No. Survivor. When you get, you know, carjacked, you're victim, right? I mean, if you get hit by a drunk driver, you're a victim. When someone breaks in your house and assaults you, you're a victim. It's a crime of violence, isn't it?
Only when you're not a victim, though.
But how do you be a victim and it's a crime? Survivor. Like, here's what it is. It's angry chicks saying, you're not going to tell me what this is, I'll just correct
you. Well, also, the lack of understanding the motivational systems of males. They can't imagine how violence and sex could go together. And how, you know, how sex could be so aggressively, you know, biologically.
I just say I have the ultimate trump card here in that the guy busts a nut during the act of the crime, which to me, call me crazy, turns it into something sexual. I'm loony that way.
What are you talking about? You've just went through a list of crimes where it's the same.
It's no different than safe cracking if you come. You got to come while you're cracking the safe. All right. I found Drew's comic Achilles heel. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's see. Next week, Sarah Rue's going to be in here from Less Than Perfect. Bob Guinea is going to be in here. He's the Bachelor. He's the guy who was in The Bachelor. He's a little bit husky, but everyone loved him a couple of years ago, or maybe last season even, and now they brought him back as The Bachelor.
Hmm.
He was vying for the love of The Bachelorette. He got down to about the end, but he got cut right at the end. And he's back. And then Bruce Campbell is, let's see, sort of a cult star. Evil Dead, and also did all the Sam Raimi films that are really cool if you guys haven't checked them out. He was The Adventures of Briscoe, Nevada. Remember that show?
No, the TV show?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
He's a good-looking, funny guy. He's a big cult guy. I don't know. I can tell you that.
What's Stealing Time? What's that?
I've got to tell you what the rest of that is. Anyway.
What is Stealing Time?
What are you talking about?
The last one.
Did you notice I didn't mention them?
It's a film.
Oh.
It's a film.
Okay.
All right. Drew, it's always a danger. Oh, Cheap Trick is coming in here, too, next week.
Yeah.
That's a good band. I'm glad they're back. All right. Where are we, Drew?
Let's go to six.
And, Drew, listen. It's always a little danger in reading those things because I don't mention everybody, but you always figure out the person who no one's heard of and you've never heard of and then wander out loud on air who this person could be.
Fair enough.
Okay. Don't do that.
All right.
I got to figure out this other Bruce Campbell. Hey, Anderson.
Yeah,
can you hear me, Anderson?
Yeah.
What do you do beside the Evil Dead? What was the big one?
Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness.
He's in all three of them. Like, it's a trilogy.
Yeah. Did you see those movies?
Yes, I did.
Did you enjoy them?
Loved Evil Dead 2.
Yeah. You didn't like Army of Darkness? Is that Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness?
No. Evil Dead 2 is Evil Dead 2. Army of Darkness is the third and final of the trilogy. I don't know. It was a little too over the top for me.
Yeah. But I found Bruce Campbell was pretty good and all
He's great. He's a great comedic actor.
Yeah, real likable, real nice looking, just slapstick, funny guy, good guy. So looking forward to meeting him next week. All right, where is we, Drew? AC.
Yeah?
AC has been on hold for 120 minutes. Oh, baby, what's up?
Well, I have an ex-boyfriend problem. 3 years ago, we had a kid together, and the minute I told him I was pregnant... he said he wanted absolutely nothing to do with me. And about a month ago, our son passed away from a sickness. He had terminal cancer, and he died. And, well, now...
He died at what age?
A month before his third birthday.
Oh, my God. What kind of cancer?
It was a cancer that affected his intestines and his stomach.
You don't know what type, what the name was.
And it's a really long, awkward name.
Okay.
Ugh, that must have been devastating for you.
Yeah, and it was really hard for me. And for some odd reason, my ex-boyfriend now wants to get back together.
Mm-hmm. So
he was afraid of the child.
He split when your son was born.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been out of the way for almost 3 years?
He's been... you know, in our son's life for the most part, but he really didn't want anything to do with me.
So he was in your son's life taking care of your son? Visitation?
Yeah, he visited.
But wouldn't relate to you?
Yeah.
And when, it sounds to me to more like he broke up with his girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
You think he got dumped on or someone dumped him or what?
You know what? Here's our advice.
You think he's done? You think he had a relationship that ended?
Could be.
Yeah, our advice is a bad guy.
Yeah, bad guy.
Close this door. Get on with life.
Yeah.
Leave this guy behind.
Sorry.
Thankfully, there's nothing attached to him anymore.
Yeah.
Be done with it. That's
and,
it.
And listen, here's the thing. It's as if you were walking with your. It's like you're walking with your wife. You're walking with your girlfriend. Some guy jumps out of the bushes holding a knife. You take your wife. Put her in front of you, use her as a shield, push her at the guy and say, yeah, take her and run the other way. And then you find out that the guy was kidding. That's just a buddy. Yeah. You showed your colors.
Yes. This guy showed.
It doesn't matter now that, it was just, the guy was just kidding. We're just testing you.
Yeah.
No, you failed.
No, yeah. This is who he is.
He showed himself.
Yes.
Fine.
It's bad.
And I'm guessing he just got dumped on and he's sliding back over there.
Just looking for Ron.
Oh, just imagine a three-year-old that way.
It's awful.
Well, let me ask you this, Drew. You know, I really, I know this sounds insensitive, but is there something that makes this easier, having a kid when you're 17, 18, and losing them at three, than having a kid when you're 33 and losing them at three?
Probably.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
A, there's a sense of, geez, I'm a kid myself. B, there's going to be more kids.
Relief, too. Yeah, more time.
And not that this is ever a good thing, but I'm just, and just in general, you're just more pliable. It's like an injury.
Yes,
it's better to break your... better break your knee at 18 than it is at 38.
I don't know any literature to support this, but I suspect you're right.
Well, just based on AC not sounding
too bad.
I'm gonna call her devastated. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, baby doll, don't worry about this guy. You find a good guy. And don't get pregnant for a while. Don't
Please.
Try to make this up or replace this or do any of that.
It's bad for the kid that does the replacement.
That's right.
Danny?
Yeah. Danny?
Hello?
Danny, you're 19.
Danny, actually.
Right. That's what we said twice.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Here we go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in the adult entertainment, industry, which means I do films, and,
Can 19-year-olds do that?
Broke?
You gotta be over 18.
Do this?
Right. Broke, all right.
And I've been finding so much judgment, from friends.
People
and,
judge.
Some family members, of course.
You're stinking whore! No, that wasn't me judging. That was all right. Yeah, families judge. I remember my dad when my sister got into hardcore porn. He judged. That's probably my dad would have been the best guy in the world to do that with because he wouldn't have gotten off the sofa. But yeah, so people judge, right? How much do you get per movie?
Actually, I get paid incredibly well. It's an insane amount for my last shoot was $1,300, and it was a boy-girl scene. Usually, you make about $600 to $700 if you're really good, $900. But this guy really takes care of us. So.
You see, at 19, that seems like an insane amount of money.
I know.
It's not.
It is one of these funny businesses in that when I was 19, I was making $375 an hour. And my pay scale went up as I got older. In the porn, as you get older, because, you know, when you get into your 40s, it's like, listen, we'll give you a Diet Coke, and here's $4. Here's bus money. Now blow that guy.
But then she's sacrificing so much for this just nominal amounts of money, right?
Well,
in the big picture.
$1,300 is $1,300.
It seems like
Drew, you'll do 10 colleges for $1,300 in Poughkeepsie. Are you kidding me? All right, so listen, Danny, what's your question?
So it's okay. I mean, right now I'm finding out a lot more about myself. And, you know, I mean, for the first time in like, I mean, I've been sexually active since I was 13.
Uh-oh. All right.
And
uh-oh. Okay, listen, Danny, we're out of time. Here's the problem.
Okay.
People judging is probably right. And it's probably not a great road for you to go down the porn road. You stinking whore. Thank you. We're out of time.
We can talk to her tomorrow
night. Let's try to talk to Danny tomorrow night.
The screeners get her phone number. We'll pick up tomorrow.
All right. We'll take quick break. We'll be right back.
Well, Adam, you lucky guy. You're late for your departure. You're just late. You make it out of here.
And we just asked Junior producer Lauren what she's learned from doing this radio show.
Watching us work.
She said, well, you don't have to prepare.
You don't have to be educated.
You get to leave early. You don't have to be that educated.
No, not educated.
You'll be uneducated. Be good. It's luck, and it's who you know. And what else? I think there's another one or two on there, too. Well, whatever it is.
But she's looking for herself.
No, she's talking about what
she's learned from watching Adam and me work.
Yes.
But she could be speaking for herself as well.
Oh, well, it's possible. It's possible. All right.
For her job.
All right, Anderson, quiet down, or I'm going to ask her what it takes. To be an engineer. She's going to say a mouth that can fit a lot of penis in it. All right, so we're going to take ourselves a little break. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
And family members, of course.
You stinking whore. No, that wasn't me judging. That was me.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.